me, if you will, to to Genesis. Very good. Yes. Genesis chapter 45 through 50 is what we'll be looking at, not verse by verse, but we're looking at different passages in that verse. But I'd like for you to first turn to chapter 41 of Genesis. If you take out your outline before you, please. We are concluding this mini-series in the life of Joseph. We started a series, a biographical series in the Word of God, as you remember. We began with Adam and Eve. And the title of that series was From Dust to Glory. And because we see that clearly in God's Word. You know, God knows that we're but dust, but He brings us on to glory through His Son. And we see through these various biographical sketches that are revealed to us by God in His Word, the great lessons to be learned, great encouragement to be received, and great hope to have. Because the same faithful God that was working faithfully in their lives is the same faithful God who's working in our lives, your life, my life. Like Paul says there in Romans chapter 15, these things were recorded in God's Word for our instruction, for our encouragement, that we would have hope. Join with me in prayer as we begin this, again, this study. Father, we thank you for your Word, your enduring Word. Lord, how it has power, and it empowers too. Thank you, Father. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your Word. Lord, speak to us, we pray. We pray that our hearts will be opened, our new hearts with the new life you've given us in Christ Jesus. Hearts that are ready to respond, ready to obey, ready to receive all that you have for us in Christ Jesus. That every day we would receive grace upon grace for your glory, and also for the benefit and blessing of others. So Lord, we pray that as we conclude this this study in the life of Joseph, that we'll learn much, and that we'll be able to apply it to our lives, and we'll be able to share it with others. That you would be glorified, and our lives would continue in that transformation as you conform us to the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. As you have your outline before you, remember we had Joseph the dreamer, Joseph the runner, Joseph the ruler. Today we're looking at Joseph the forgiver. We see all those different elements, if you will, in that rather involved story of Joseph and how God used Joseph. And why does He use every one of us? Maybe not in the same circumstances like a pit or prison, or maybe even a palace, but use every one of us for His glory and for the blessing of others. Joseph the forgiver, one of the key passages, and we'll get to that eventually, in chapter 50, verse 20. You need to turn there again. But the overview, God continues to work in Joseph's life so He can work through him for His glory and for the purpose to bless others. Joseph is a wonderful example of God's forgiveness toward us and our forgiveness toward others. You know, one of the great words in the Word of God is forgive or forgiven. And there are many different words that God uses in His Word, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that are translated or convey that, if you will, that experience of being forgiven or forgiving others and having that forgiveness from God. It's something that we see in the life of Joseph. Humanly speaking, Joseph could have really ragged upon his brothers. That has really ruined their lives. He had the power. He was there in the palace. Second to Pharaoh. Could have taken all whatever anger he may have had, whatever bitterness he had, whatever resentment he may have had. But he didn't. He forgave him. Take a look, if you will. Forgiveness is a very important part, as we see throughout God's Word. Psalm 32, in your outline before you, this is the Psalm of David. David extols, if you will, the joy, the blessing, the strength, the grace of forgiveness in his life. And he writes this, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Again, 1 John chapter 1, 9, you know that verse, I'm sure. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to forgive us. He gave His Son that He could through His death and resurrection, but He also wants us to forgive others. Joseph the forgiver spends, and we see 45 through 50 chapters. But Joseph had a forgiving heart. And we see this in the very beginning, even before we get into this section where we see Joseph forgiving and expressing his forgiveness to his brothers. Joseph had a forgiving heart. We see this in the naming of his sons. If you're in chapter 41, there in verses 50 through 52, chapter 41 of Genesis, chapter 41, verses 50 through 52. In the year that the famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, warned them to him. Joseph called the name of the surgeon Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. All that bitter, bitter event, all those hurtful, horrible, painful experiences that he had in the past with his brothers, God enabled him to forget. And Joseph had a forgiving heart. But God was in the middle of that heart, if you will, enabling Joseph to forgive. And we see this expressed in the names of his sons because, you know, a heart that is willing to forgive is also a life that is fruitful. And take a look at the following verse. The name of the second child he called Ephraim. For God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God enabled him to forget all those bitter experiences so that he could forgive his brothers for what they did. But in so doing that, and having such a heart, God enabled him also to be fruitful in God's will. They go together, they really do. So Joseph had a forgiving heart here in the midst of all of this. And for many of us as believers too, we have to learn that. Take a look at your outline before you. We have Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, where you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a very hard statement. There are a lot of hard statements in the Word of God. That doesn't mean that if you're a born-again believer, because you don't forgive your brother, your sister in Christ, or anyone else, maybe someone in your family, maybe a friend of yours, who used to be a friend, but now you're not ready to forgive them. God is the same here. God the Son is the same here that you'll lose your salvation, but it will affect your fellowship with God. It always will. That's why in 1 John, where John is writing about fellowship with God and with one another, that's why he puts right in here, in the very first chapter, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because you know what? God wants to have fellowship with you and I every day. Personally, intimately, every day, throughout the day. But if we have an unforgiving heart, that affects our fellowship with God. Our relationship is still there. We're still a child of God. We're by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. But an unforgiving heart will affect our fellowship. And if it affects our fellowship with God, it also affects our blessings from God. It also affects, if it affects our fellowship with God and our blessings from God, it will also affect our ability to be a blessing to others. And we'll see that in Joseph's life shortly. But take a look at Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That was an important question. Both then and now, too. How often do you forgive the person who's doing the same thing? 3 times? 4 times? 6 times? 7 times? You know, we saw that the Jews in that day, 3 times is enough. Struck out on the 3rd time. I'm not obligated to forgive you after that. Well, look, Peter says, up to 7 times? Peter thought, boy, he's really doing something great here. Better than the average Jew, better than the teaching of that day. I'll do it 7 times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Not about the numbers. It's about our heart, is what Jesus is saying. Amen? I know it's hard. But if you let God at work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure, and part of his good pleasure in your life is that you and I would have a forgiving heart. That's part of his good pleasure and his will. Let's go on. Joseph provided for his brothers. One of the evidence that he did have a forgiving heart toward his brothers is that he was willing to provide for them. In chapter 45, we see this. You know something?
A forgiving heart has giving hands. Did you know that? A forgiving heart has giving hands. It's an unforgiving heart that grasps, holds, that keeps. But a forgiving heart has giving hands. That's exactly what Joseph had. That's why we say it. That he already had a forgiving heart. Now God is giving him an opportunity to show that forgiveness that he had with his wife. Just like God gives you and I an opportunity to show that forgiveness from a forgiving heart that had a forgiving heart. Joseph provided for his brothers in chapter 45. Are you there yet? Let me catch up to you. You're way ahead of me. Chapter 45 of Genesis. Chapter 45. Oh, these pages. I don't know if your Bible sticks together or not, but mine does. Yeah? Okay. It's not that I'm getting old. My fingers are not getting as simple as they used to be. Yeah. Okay, chapter 45, verse 3. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Joseph? Really? We didn't know anything, where you were, what was happening to you. But we do remember we threw you in a pit. We do remember we sold you into slavery to the Amalekites. They brought you down into Egypt. We done nothing about you. In fact, we probably didn't care a whole lot about you either. But we remember what we did. But notice here, in chapter 45, verse 2, Joseph provides for his brothers his concern for his father's well-being. How's our father doing? You see, a forgiving heart is concerned about other people. Did you know that? You know who an unforgiving heart is concerned mostly about? Himself. Himself. The hurt. The resentment. The offense. Joseph had concern for his father's well-being, verse 3. But also in verses 45, he had a sense of God's purpose in the adversity and suffering of others. In verses 4 through 5, Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. They knew that. He knew that. But that wasn't the issue. He wanted to remember. He wanted to say to them that he wasn't holding that against them, because he was indeed a forgiving heart is a giving hand, and he was giving them whatever they needed to provide for them in their sufferings and their adversity. So verses 4 through 5, he had a sense of God's purpose in the adversity and the suffering of others. Verse 20, let's take a look at verse 20. He provided for those who hated and sold him into slavery. Take a verse, and he says, have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Joseph provided for his brothers. The ones that hated him, the ones that threw him into a pit, were contemplating even murdering him. The ones that ultimately sold him into slavery. Joseph had a forgiving heart toward them. Verse 24, he knew their hearts, but he still loved them and forgave them. Notice what he says in verse 24. As he sends them on the way to bring the family back into to bring the family into Egypt, where he would provide for them abundantly, sufficiently. Verse 24. Then he sent to his brothers. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, "Oh, by the way, I love it. I wonder how wonderful God's word is. It's so real." And it knows your heart and my heart. Joseph knew their hearts. Oh, by the way, well, he added that, you know that. He said, do not quarrel on the way. He knew their hearts. And he still loved them. And he still blessed them. And he still had a forgiving heart toward them. It wasn't that he expected them to be perfect before he could forgive them. Sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we have an unforgiving heart towards someone. They've hurt us, they've offended us, they've done something,
And we're not going to forgive them until they change. Have you been there?
I have.
Joseph wasn't there. He understood their hearts and he so loved them. And don't forget, a forgiving heart is a giving hand. And he wanted to bless them. There's something else too. Knowing their hearts, he knew that they weren't going to be made perfect because he forgave them. See, sometimes when we're unforgiving, we have the view that they got to get better, they got to get changed before I forgive them. Or when I do forgive them, we have that thought, that desire, that almost demand that if I forgive you, you better change in the future. That was not Joseph's demand. He wanted them to change. But whether they changed before or after, that was not the issue. The issue is Joseph's own heart. Yes, Joseph provided for his brothers. Now there's something else. Take a look, if you follow the verse you have there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him, in Christ, is what Paul's writing about. This is for us, you and me, okay? In him we have redemption through his blood, the what? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? His grace! You see, that way of forgiving heart is it has giving hands. It learns to be gracious. Yeah. Take a look at your book, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, to tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. By the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Lord and Savior. And I have an unforgiving heart toward a brother or sister in Christ, or anybody, my family or my friends, or anybody, my next door neighbor. Then I have forgotten how gracious God was in forgiving me through Christ Jesus. Remember that story the Lord told? About the servant who owed his master an astronomical debt. He couldn't possibly pay. But he asked for mercy. He asked to be forgiven. That's it. And his master, out of grace and kindness and compassion, says, I forgive your debt. That same servant who was forgiven by his master so much beyond his capacity to pay that debt. But now he's forgiven. A fellow servant owed him such a small amount. And that servant asked him, please forgive me. Forgive my debt. No. I am thrown into a debtor's prison. Indeed, in that parable shows maybe our heart too. We forget how much our Lord and Master has forgiven us. And those little offenses, those little hurts, I know sometimes they seem so big, but think of how much God has forgiven us. Joseph's brothers were under conviction of sin. Take a look at verse 4, chapter 42. Chapter 42. They were under the conviction and guilt. Verse 21. This is when Joseph was testing them. And then verse 21, then they said to one another, in truth we are guilty concerning our brother. And they're talking about Joseph, what they did to him many years before. In that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we did not listen to him. That is why this distress has come upon us. They were under conviction and guilt for what they had done. So they understood, if you will, Joseph's brothers were under conviction of sin. There was blame shifting too. That often happens. Have you ever done that? Blame shifting and self-righteous. Take a look at Reuben. Take a look at the verse. Follow. 22, Reuben, good old Reuben. Reuben answered them, did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? I told you so. Self-righteous. Sometimes we can get down that road, can't we? I told you so. Let's go on. But you did not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood. There was conviction and guilt. But even in that conviction and guilt, there was that capacity, there was that potential to become self-righteous and blame other things, rationalize that sin away. That's what Reuben was doing. I'm sure maybe some of the others stand and say, yeah, I felt the same way as Reuben too, but I didn't say anything. Well, they were all guilty. They were all guilty. And they felt that conviction and guilt. Sin is never silent. You're outlined before you. Sin is never silent nor dormant. Take a look at Numbers there in your outline before you. God is speaking to his people about obeying his word, obeying his commandments. And so Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, but if you do not do so, if you do not obey, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure, let's say that together, okay? Be sure your sins will find you out. Wow. Sin is never silent, nor is it dormant. One way to get rid of it in our lives is to ask for forgiveness constantly. Amen? One way to get it out of it in a relationship is to forgive and reconcile. Take a look at Galatians. If you think that's only in that one verse, and maybe like Thomas Jefferson in his Bible, he cut out passages that he didn't like. And what was left, that was his Bible. And some people do that. Oh, they don't cut them out, but they forget them, or they don't turn to them, okay? Well, if you think that this is the only verse here in Numbers 22 about sin not being silent nor dormant, take a look at Galatians. You have that before you. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You sow corn, you get corn. You sow beans, you get beans. You sow sin, you get consequences of sin. That's what he's saying. Take a look. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Joseph's brothers were under conviction of the sin that they did. Joseph knew God's purpose. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 50. This is where we come to one of the key verses in the issue of forgiveness. One of the key verses in the story of Joseph himself. And we're looking at verses 19 through 21. Jacob had already died, and Joseph's brothers, not Benjamin, but the other 10, were wondering, did Joseph hold back his bitterness and his revenge? Did Joseph hold back his anger and his hatred because our father was still alive? Was our father's presence holding back Joseph from taking retaliation on us? Jacob died. What do you think they were thinking? Maybe Joseph was going to get even now. Do you ever want to get even with somebody? There's somebody who really hurt you. Maybe a loved one. Maybe a family member. Maybe a friend. Maybe somebody you work with. Or maybe someone in the church family. And you wanted to get even. Oftentimes, that happens. But if God is in the midst of that, he will hold us back and show us another way, like he did for Joseph. Now his brothers, in verses 19 and verses following, they told him that that the father said that he should of course, deal with them righteously and deal with them okay. And take a look at his brothers in verse 18. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear. He understood where their hearts were. They thought he was going to retaliate, take revenge on them. do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and for your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph knew God's purpose, and he obeyed. You see, a forgiving heart is only one with giving hands. But a forgiving heart is a God-honoring life. And that's what Joseph wanted to do. He wanted to honor God. Take a look. He knew that he was not in God's place. Take a look at verse 19. He's asking them a rhetorical question. Am I in the place of God? No! That's the answer! Now you knew that answer, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you know something? We're not God either. We're not in the place of God. And what Joseph is saying, I'm not in the place of God to judge and condemn you. Do you know what happens when you and I have an unforgiving heart? We put ourselves in God's place to judge and to condemn that person. Did you know that? Did you know that? Joseph knew that. And what he's saying is, I'm not in the place of God. I will provide for you. I will take care of you and your little ones. I have forgiven you. He knew that he was not in God's place. When we're not forgiving others, we take up God's place in judging and condemning. Unforgiving people play God. Did you know that? And we disobey him. Unforgiving people play God and they disobey him. Unforgiving people have little or no sense of their own sinfulness and need for forgiveness for themselves. They talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk. They sound so spiritual, so godly, and yet have an unforgiving heart. They've forgotten how they've been forgiven. They've forgotten that God says you must forgive. You must forgive others. Let's go on. He could see life from God's perspective, verse 20. God brings out good out of evil. Take a look, if you will. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God can always bring good out of evil. He will always transform that which is difficult, that which is suffering, that which is bad. And God can, in his infinite mercy and grace, can transform a situation that is so hard and so difficult into a situation that is so blessing and grace. If you don't believe me, look at the cross. That's a great example. How God can take something that is evil and bring good out. Amen? While you're there, while you're looking at me, go into your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is talking about the foolishness of the cross, both to the Jew and to the Gentile. Why? Because the cross was a shameful thing. Anyone who was crucified on the cross, they were criminals. They deserved it. Think of Jesus Christ, your Savior, my Savior, God's only begotten Son. He came and he knew as the Lamb of God, he would be crucified. He would be betrayed. He would be beaten. He would be spat upon. He would be mocked. He would be nailed to that cross. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit knew that which is foolish and evil and shameful, God would take and make it to become the very power of God to salvation. Would you read that verse? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Read it aloud. Amen. You see, that's what Joseph was talking. That seed of that truth and principle right there. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The Romans meant it for evil. The Jews meant it for evil when they nailed Jesus Christ to that cross. But God, and only God can, will make it for good. So whatever offense, whatever hurt, whatever harm, whatever you have endured from someone else, Let God take that which is evil, that which is wrong, that which is offensive, that which is sinful, and in your life, like in Joseph, turn it around to make it good for God's glory. You see, that's another part of forgiveness that we often don't hear about. But it's there. It was there in Joseph's life. And beloved, God our Savior, God our Heavenly Father, God the Holy Spirit, they want it to be true in our life too. Amen. Having a forgiving heart put Joseph in God's place to be a blessing to others. I will bless you. I will provide for you and for your little ones. You see, a forgiving heart is one that has giving hands. A forgiving heart is a life that honors God. A forgiving heart is one that can see, even though it's evil, in God's infinite wisdom, in His amazing grace and mercy, can take that which is hurtful, that which is even harmful, and turn it. If you ever doubt that in your life, look at the cross again. God blesses His people to be a blessing to others. That's a fact. That's a truth. That's a principle. That's a promise. God brings comfort and encouragement to those who forgive. Why should we forgive others? Well, we have the example of Joseph, and we've been learning why. But let me just in your outline before you, because we have been forgiven by God. That alone should move us to forgive others. Forgiving one another even as God has forgiven us in Christ. Because our Lord commands us to forgive others as He forgave us, that alone should move us to forgive. Let's go on to the next. So we do not give Satan and sin power over our lives. Again, so others will know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Again, so that we can experience forgiveness and fellowship with God. And again, so that we can be a blessing to others. Without that forgiveness, without that forgiving heart, we'll never be a blessing as God intends to be a blessing. Without that forgiving heart, we'll never be fruitful as God wants us to be fruitful. That's true of a church, that's true of a family, that's true of an individual. We'll never be fruitful in our own Christian life or in a church. When we forgive like we have been forgiven by God through Christ, we promise that we will never think or dwell upon it again. I know that's hard. I remember things too that I have forgiven, but that blood comes to me and I have to remember it. Bill, if you've truly forgiven that person, as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus, don't give up. Let it just go through. Don't even think about it. Think about what God has done. Think about the cross. We promise that we will not bring it up or use it, the incident against them, that person that you have forgiven. We promise that we will not talk to others about the incident. Do you know what you did to me? Do you know what he said to me? No. We will not do that. And if we truly forgive, we promise that we will not let the incident hinder our personal relationship. Humanly speaking, Joseph could have retaliated. He could have taken revenge. But he didn't. Why? Because he had a higher call. Turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 3. You have the pew Bibles. You use the pew Bibles on page 1166. 1166. Joseph knew that he had a higher calling. Do you know that you and I have a higher calling also? So we don't do what, humanly speaking, we need to do, but we're to do what we have that higher calling to do. Take a look, if you will, at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect. Paul says, I'm not perfect. Every one of us can say that too, right? I'm not perfect. But I pray not to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, take a look at Paul's higher calling, and the higher calling that every Christian, every born-again person in Christ Jesus has. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Joseph in his day couldn't say it just like that, because Christ hadn't come and hadn't died and rose again on the third day. But Joseph could say and know with all his heart and act upon that, not humanly speaking, but on the basis of a higher calling. A higher calling you and I have. You see, a forgiving heart has given hands. It's precious. A forgiving heart has a life that is God-honoring. A forgiving heart is wonderful babies. Turn with me, if you will, your hymnal. Hymnal on page 291. This isn't the closing hymn, but I want to bring this in that we all are familiar with. Hymn number 291. And I'm going to ask you to stand, because you're going to be standing pretty soon. 291 for the closing hymn. Higher ground. Okay? We can sing it a cappella, or would you like to get over it? Hey, we got music with this one. That means you know you can sing three times as loud. Have you noticed that? When people don't have music, they sing. I'm sorry?